more verses from the Athenaeum, Smithy of Life. When thou speakest of time, care that it should not be numbered as days, which are like the grains of sand of the desert, nor of the infinite number of things which thou seest. Care not in this passage of time that thou hast tarried, nor cast aside, or even that thou hast wasted, even that thou hast been a millstone around thy neck. But thinkest thou that in time, that it is an accomplishment of purpose, that from the baser nature of all things, yea, even the blackest of earth, springeth the rarest flowers, and that the essence of good are in all things. Seest thou in time, and care that instead of numbering thy days and the iniquities thereof, that thou numberest instead the goodness and virtue in each day, and in its accomplishment see thou too, and caring for that there has been derelictions and casting aside, for surely the heaviness of vices have been with thee. And again, these things may be used for a firmer foundation. For how canst thou attain from no beginning? If thou hast attained and attained all, then life has lost purpose and virtue means not with thee, nor can it repose in thy breast, nor make a temple for thee. But if virtue is worked for, and carved as the stones, yea, and gathered as the gold and brass, and smelted in the forge, then verily thou hast become the smithy of thine own life. For in all these things thou buildest thine own temple, and reapest the rewards of the virtues, which thou hast created from the dust and the things of the earth. Searchest thou, for without me thy voice becomes as one crying in the wilderness, and with me thy voice becomes one in the infinite symphony of creation. Without me, thy path is more dark than the blackest night. With me, thy path is brighter than the noonday sun, and stones become as stars. Without me, thy way is weary and filled with fasting and thirst. With me, thy flesh rejoiceth, and thy spirit is stilled with the abundance of all things. And who am I, thou askest? I am the largest of all things and the smallest of the small. things both seen and invisible. I am all that which has passed and is yet to come. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Yet there is more than all this, for thou losest me. Thou hast lost all, yet ever must thou search for me, and ever in the beginning thou findest new life. And in the ending, always the beginning. And in the beginning is the freshness of new seeking. And of all the things of which I am, yea, of heaven and of things yet beyond heaven, and even unto the smallest of all things of which heaven is made, for this too becomes thy destiny and the part of thy seeking and the fulfillment of thy finding. So seekest thou, hoping not, but knowing much, that ever and anon there is new finding, and that this finding gives new life and brings unto thee the freshness of creation. So shall it be. One with God. Man goeth about the earth, and there is much knocking and grinding. Likewise there is great haste unto the end of nothing, and that man findeth in the pain and anguish of his own doings. For with the knocking and the grinding and the great haste, he shall find the emptiness thereof, and that he shall crieth out against the emptiness of all this. That surely he has wasted his life, and I say unto you, that though he has all of these things in many lives, and he is long-suffering, yet surely he will not slacken, neither put aside all these things until he seeth only with the Spirit and heareth only of the Spirit. Yea, verily, he speaketh with the voice of Spirit, and so becomes one with God. Virtues of Spirit. The flesh cometh and goeth, born from the soil, and eaten by hungry mouths to be born again. Yet whence cometh the soul, and as it liveth in the flesh, yet becomes not of it, nor canst it be tainted by such flesh. For its virtues are many, and liveth apart from the flesh, nor do they springeth from the soil. Yet flesh, and he who thinketh in the flesh, and speaketh aloud in all tongues and in all ways, belongs to the flesh, and to the soil from which it sprang. For surely, even though he speaketh of the flesh, yet surely his flesh could not endure, nor could it spring from the soil, except by the virtues of Spirit. voice of nature. For the voice of nature is the voice of God. It speaketh through all things, into all times, unto all mankind. And as the seasons and the sunshine, with the rain and the thunder, through the voice of heaven, each has its time of coming and going, which is like the coming of spring and the freshness of the newborn year. The springtime up from the earth is the voice of nature. And there is the time of summer and of the green fields and of the mighty forests. And the song of summer is the song of spring in its joy. And they count time by it in the wind which swipes the leaves. The joy in man's heart is not the joy one finds in another man's heart. Neither are the treasures in his storehouse the treasures in his own storehouse. For each man findeth his own way, the joys and the treasures of this earth. And all the treasures of this earth come and go, as do the winter winds and the summer skies. But the joys of spirit remain with him forever. Compare ye not. And there is a man who is proud and vain in all things that he doeth. And he is like the man who chooseth his fairest dates and his best wine, and maketh a great journey through the desert unto his neighbor's house. That he saith unto him, Seest thou my dates? Are they not fairer than thine? And his neighbor showeth him his garden, and his dates which are larger and sweeter. Yet the man is not abashed, but saith unto his neighbor, Tastest thou my wine? Is it not the best wine in the world? And his neighbor taketh him into his wine cellar, and showeth him choice vintage from many lands and many years. And so the man must goeth from the house, for now he knoweth that there are many things which are fair, and that while he may also be thus, yet it is always so, that as he seeketh, he can always find that which is fairer. Creating. I called to thee unto the blackness of the night, but only echoes answered back, and all was still again. I called to thee in the brightness of a new day. But songs of birds were all that answered my plea. And then I called to thee from deep within my heart, and lo, you stood before me, a vision transformed and clothed in radiant garments of love. Your hair with woven strands of moonbeams, your eyes reflected there, the starry depths of firmament. What magic elixir was this, that out of all the earth and sky, I found thee not? But only when I searched within, I found that from the substance of my soul, and added to the chalice of my life, became thy form. And so I found the shining secret way to life. A place where dwells the longings of my heart. And now I call not in the blackness of the night, nor do I listen from among the call of birds for one sweet note from thee. For always there within thou art before me, and holding clasped within thine arms all things held dear, that if but I can thus create, then can each and every one. For if this substance of our thoughts becomes so melded with the soul, then grows the vision of our life. A temple or a tombstone, or again a vision, oh so lovely and oh so fair, who takes us by the hand and leads us on to places yet undreamt, a fairness not beheld by mortal eye, for such a place may well be heaven, where dreams are born into the substance of our lives. Shroud of mail. How small man is that strives against the moral, that he seeks to raise his kingdom up, large or small, against the moral. In blinded haste, he may carve stones, ships, or mighty fortresses, or he may march to the thundering tread of great armies, knowing not of this day and of the morrow, that all these things are guided by an arm and hand unseen, but mightier than the greatness of all nations. An arm reaching through the countless centuries of time, signed by all the things that were in all these bygone days. Each finger writes as once it did before, mayhap not once, but many times a century or two apart, repeats a thousand different ways the deeds and things done long ago. And thus it is that each man's life becomes a prison, and he his own jailer, there to keep himself in lock and fetters. Bars as strong as steel, not made on any smithy's forge, but fashioned there within his mind, each link he weaves himself a shroud of mail, and holds himself aloft to shield of self-desires, to shield his eyes from love and truth. As ye giveth, ye receiveth. And there was a man who marveled much upon his life, and he saith unto himself, All my life I have worked hard. I have accrued much wealth, and have been a good husband. I have many ships, and my caravans are crossing the desert in all directions, yet I have no friends. Yea, there are many who call me friend, but only because of my riches, and I trust them not, for they have all proven false. Yet I know not the real love of my wife, for she doth seem ever fearful of me. Why doest my children become silent when I draw nigh them? An angel appeared to him and spake thusly, Thy voice has been heard, and thy question shall be answered. And the angel, taking him by the hand, showed him a great river, that standing upon the bank of the river was a man. He had many water jars and vessels, which he filled from the river, and taking them back unto the land, poured the water upon it. Now the man marveled much, for he could see no sign of any growing thing, for it was but desert sands where the water was poured. Neither had any plow touched it. And the angel taketh him again by the hand, and showeth him another river. And upon the banks of this river was a beautiful home, and there were beautiful gardens about, with a pool. A ditch had been digged from the river unto the pool from some distance above, and a small mound of stones placed near the bank of the river, so that the water flowed through the ditch and into the pool and into the garden and crops around the house. Again the man marveled, and the angel spoke thus, Thou hast seen how it is that when one taketh from the river of life, and that these things that ye taketh are not placed in properly prepared soil, that ye are merely pouring these waters of life. And as they flow unto thee, though some of them remain with thee, as in the pool, yet it must be that some of these waters must flow outwardly and to all things about ye. And into the properly prepared soil. And thus it shall be that life shall be fruitful. Bed. I speak to thee from out of the nothingness, and my voice is born with the wings of light. And it is the light which illumines all things, and shadows are made whole, and great distances brought together. Yet it is not the spoken word which hath the power or the light, nor does he who uttereth the word contain the wisdom, the power, and the light, but only as a vessel and stream bed which unites him in the flowing of all things, and in their receiving and in their taking, and as the vessel is united with the stream bed of life, that it springeth forth from the fountain of infinite wisdom and watered with its light. For surely if man thinketh that he utters the word which containeth the wisdom and the light, and he thinketh that this is of himself and given selfishly, then surely is not the wisdom nor the light. Nor is he a vessel, neither is he united with the stream bread of life. My face, and then I looked into the skies and saw a star far brighter yet than all the rest. And lo, it was that as I looked, this star came close, and mirrored there within its light, I saw a face. No stranger's face was this but mine, and yet strange it was. 'Twas not the face from whence I looked about the world and wore a smile or wore a frown, but 'twas an angel's face. This face of mine I saw within this star. Its eyes illumined with all love I've ever lived and yet to live, was shining there. Its mouth spoke not the fleshy words that dealt with things of earth, but from within it framed thousand wisest words. Its cheeks held not the ruddy glow of cursing blood, but softly radiant as a thousand breaking dawns. This glow of heavenly health held forth its promise of eternal life. Ah, yes, it was this face of mine, a wondrous thing to thus behold. And yet I knew this face was but the image of all things held dear and cherished most. The things yet unlived, unloved, unrealized were there to be. A promise unfulfilled, this face, and like the starry light that held it fast, a beckoning beacon to always lead me on to greater heights. Oh yes, I know I'll never wear this face, for if I do, I'll lose its charm, its light, its guiding way. For so it must remain, the things I see within its light will be someday my way of life. And even so, I'll add from time to time some new and sparkling hue to all of this, and to the face I'll add a pliant touch of what I think a perfect face should be.